Hi everyone, welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news, episode number 287 for January 11th, 2021. We are recording this at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com, and you should be seeing Anka Metcalf's screen right now. She's going to be sharing her screen for today's episode, and so she's the guest for today, Anka Metcalf of tradeoutloud.com, and the option professor of optionprofessor.com is moderating today, so I'm going to turn it over to him.
Okay, great. Hey, Anka and everybody, nice to have you here after a pretty tumultuous week last week, both in the news and in the stock market, but we're on to a new week here today. We opened lower. Well, we went lower and now we're right back up again. Before we get into all the markets and everything, Anka, a little background on yourself for new listeners and what's going on over at Trade Out Loud.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, David, for putting together this show today for everyone. And thank you, Jim, for the introduction. My name is Anka Metcalf and I'm the CEO and founder of TradeOutloud.com. TradeOutloud is a trading education company that is focused on trading education and all services as well, and focused on teaching traders how to trade day trade and swing trade the futures and the equities market. I have been a professional trader for the last 17 years and I specialize in day trading futures into the open at the New York Trading Session open, so day trading futures. I also swing trade futures, but my primary goal is to day trade futures into the first 2 hours of the trading day, and I swing trade equities and futures for the rest of the day. Basically, I set alerts. I don't have to sit in front of the computer and babysit because the charting and the indicators are doing all the work for me, the alert system. And I have been doing this for 18 years now. Hard to believe that 18 years ago, I quit my job just to day trade and swing trade the markets. I come with 10 plus years in investment banking, so prior to becoming a trader, a full-time trader, and I'm also the designer of an institutional proprietary trading system, and the reason why I'm the designer is because I cannot take credit for it, but I had to design an institutional level of trading to my day trading and my swing trading environment. So this is coming from higher time frames that are that I have applied to smaller time frames. I did some tweaks and some changes to it, and I also have developed my eight support and resistance areas. And by the way, I did not invent those. They are technical. They have been around for many, many years in technical analysis, but I just put them together and I put them to work for my strategies. I also have specific trigger times for the New York trading session. And this is designed for day trading. And these are specific times when the market is more prone for either a continuation higher or for a pullback. And this together with my zones, with my areas that are coming from support resistance areas, the eight layers of price support resistance, creates a confluence where trades are more likely to trigger and continue in the optimum direction that you initiate the trade in. I also pay attention to chart synchronicity and divergency because not all indices are the same. And if you have been looking at the market today, the market is, I would say, heavily divergent because we're having a relative weak NASDAQ and we're having a little stronger Dow here and even a stronger Russell. Russell right now actually trading into the green compared to NASDAQ, that is into the red as well. So I specialize altogether in high velocity moves. So I do a lot of work for my charts so I can put all the things together so I could get better result and better return on my risk. So Jim, you have the mic.
Sure. Okay. Well, each week on a Monday, we generally go through a few basic questions. And the first one is always, what do you think the S&P will do between today's opening, which was 3803, and Friday's close? What's your feeling on that? Your best guess.
Yes. And from the technicals that I'm seeing on the chart, it is this is actually the toughest week to predict because on Friday we do have option expiration and that is a doozy. So usually on option expiration, we can expect the market to be a little bit more hawkish to kill some of that premium. And I'm expecting that the market will continue higher. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm going to talk about the levels later, but sure, definitely a continuation higher. Not much, but a little bit higher.
Right. And your confidence level in that is about on a percentage basis?
I would say about 80%.
Right. right? And with regards to, there's a couple of things happening today. The dollar got stronger and yields are rising. I would say, as I look at the board, those two things are happening today. And it'll be interesting to see if they will continue going. That TLT that I watch, broke under 155, which I think was the end of the story as far as hoping yields will go lower at all. So, that's a pretty big change in that. But what's behind the curtain as far as your feelings between now and the end of the week anyway on why the market may matriculate higher?
Okay. So usually on an option expiration day, I would be relatively neutral and I would just trade pretty much one day at a time. However, this week, because we may have a stimulus Wednesday, I think that is going to put more pressure on price and may drive the price a little bit higher. And that is pretty much my reason for this. And of course, there are a lot of things that may prevent that. We also have Federal Chair Powell that will be delivering a speech. I believe it's on Thursday, so I have to check my calendar, but I believe he will be speaking on Thursday, or is it Wednesday? So if that's going to happen on a Wednesday, that's going to be a little bit conflicting with the possibility of receiving another $2,000, the stimulus check. And that may prevent that, depending on what Federal Chair Powell may be saying, that may create a little bit more divergence in the market. But other than that, having this news on the horizon, I think people are going to do exactly, what they did in the past when they received the stimulus check. They are either going to go on Robinhood or whatever, and they're going to start putting money into the market. As you probably lockdowns that are going to start rolling in, we saw in Canada that Quebec, the province, they're in total lockdown, and they're going to get probably Ontario into a lockdown. So I don't think that we're very far from a potential lockdown. So the inauguration next week. So after next week, you could possibly see some more lockdowns here in the U.S., but we'll see.
Now, you try to scan for things that obviously are, have some momentum and some volume and stuff. A couple of stocks that I've noticed are having pretty good days is CMG and NVDA. Would they have come up on your scanning?
Yes, actually, CMG, we do have an active position in NVIDIA. I'm going to share it in just a bit. But with CMG, this one came on my radar, but the price is so high that I try to stay away. So last week we had this little dip down, and right now we're getting this weekly rotation right here with a punch through higher. And I just want to put some extensions on it. This is a trade that is actually running into and is trading off its extensions, and it does have room to run higher if it should trade above 1420 to 1450. 1420 is going to be that institutional level where they like to leg in. We can possibly see a huge projection to the upside in CMG, because CMG has been basing since August. So we have the high here, and then we have the low here, and we have the high on August 31st, and then we have the low on November 2nd, and then we finally broke out here in the second week of December that propelled the price higher. We even had a new high, which was very typical as part of window dressing, and it continued to punch a little bit higher. But right now, I think it's just getting ready to blast higher. I'm pretty sure you have it on your radar, because I'm pretty sure, Jim, that you're already in.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Exactly. So I could see a huge potential for a move higher. And this is, again, this is a longer term trade, but with huge targets into the 1800s. So really, really nice and juicy trade. And NVIDIA was a little bit of a laggard was, again, basing. And what I saw in NVIDIA is basically a bullish pennant that was, forming this really nice congestion at the time. It was right here. This is where I initiated the trade, but it had a really nice pennant. So in this perspective, it was either bullish bullish above or bearish below. So in this case, we took it higher. This was the area for our entry. This was the risk that we applied. And we're actually having it as a long-term trade. We actually hit our target one into the first resistance area into the 550. And that happened today. And we have the second target, which is right here, right into the, oops, I can't see the price right now. So let me just clear this up. The second target would be into the 580 or so. And again, NVIDIA is a very, very strong with a new potential of a relaunch higher. In fact, if you're looking at the monthly charts, you know, you could see that this is the month of December that was an inside, had inside price action activity. So this is actually a break above the monthly high. So this is really, really big. So again, yes, I am looking for a continuation into the 580, 588, and it can extend higher for here. I'm seeing that support is pretty much into the 500. So if we go back into the weekly, and if, you know, any of our viewers would like to see any higher, targets for NVIDIA can easily go, like I said, into the 580s. But beyond that, we could actually start making new highs into the 600 and 650 area. So it does have a lot of room for higher and can even extend higher for the rest of the year into the 740. This is a stock that is always going to be, a growth type of trade. So I can only see the projection higher for NVIDIA. One of the things that I absolutely love about this, about the stock, is that it finally pulled back to the 20 SMA. 20 SMA in my book, that's the magnet. So if you're having higher timeframes that are pulling back to the 20 SMA, for me, that is very significant, because especially if they range around this area or if they coil around this area. And let's not forget, the last time we have tapped into the 20 SMA was back in March. So look at the launch pad that we had since then. So I think it's just going to make new highs. It's really a terrific stock to hold in your portfolio for longer term, like I have it. It's just blasting higher. Like if you're going right now, even on the 1 minute, it's just making new highs. Just made a new high at 1 o'clock when we started David's show.
Yeah. I was wondering also, Pfizer had a big drop off of that 40s area, but it does look like it's trying to turn. Is your chart starting to see that it could be something going on there?
Oh, yeah. So actually, this was a signal that I sent out to my traders. And in fact, this is a weekly rotation that we have here. So after about 3 weeks in which the price has come back into my favorite zone, which is the 20 SMA, and this is for the bullish side, and this is, I would say, conservative bullish. I really like the fact that right now we're actually starting to trade above this prior high right here. So our trigger in the program was 37.55. And we see a first target into the 38.80 and then continuation higher back into the $40 and back into the $42. So we're going to take it with baby steps, but this is a perfect doji rotation. It's going to be bullish above and full nice cone completion that may blast into the $42. The last time we popped in here was the vaccine pop. So let's hope that things are going to get positive with the vaccine, and this may only, you know, push and help the price higher. From the hourly perspective, we did start a little bit lower on the trading session when we started into the pre-market, but we quickly built up. You can see here that we have like a whole entire range that we have been trading in and finally blasting over that 37.55. So we're right there into the trigger point that we called for our traders. It's looking very good. I mean, I like it for higher. I am full position size into Pfizer.
Yeah. The financials, in September, FANG pretty much topped. And so that was the time that at Option Professor, we said, you know, get rid of the FANG stuff and put it into the value, which is the banks, the industrials, the materials, you know, mm-hmm. all the companies that are trading at a PE of 14 to 15 or less, and they're going to run. And boy, that's really run good. One of them that we were totally on, which was Citigroup at around 40 and 45, because of the price to book was like ridiculously low, like 60.6. Mm-hmm. It's still low. And it's so low. We're still kind of a believer in this thing going up towards 80. What are you thinking?
I think the same thing. And Jim, I know that we've done, you know, quite a few webinars together, and you were mentioning all of these stocks back in like months ago.
Right.
And I'm really happy that you brought that up, because, you know, I think a lot of traders that follow us and, you know, followed your calls, you know, they have had huge profits in financials, because you did mention all of these financial stocks and more stocks that we were, you know, talking about at the time. But I think that now that anything that the more we close, and obviously last week we closed above this 200 SMA, this is just going to start engaging higher. And I think that, you know, 70, 75, 80 is not that far away.
Right. We were talking about the steepening yield curve, and that obviously is good for the banks. And that yield curve has done nothing but steepen since September. So the actual viewpoint there was right on. With regards to another thing, I was listening to Charlie Munger, and, you know, obviously the big theme is technological disruption. So that's why you see, I mean, whoever thought Bonwit Teller and Neiman Marcus and all these people, Macy's, would be going either bankrupt or going down so much. It's because obviously they've had their the situation disrupted by technology. Well, one thing he was saying that it's not going to be disrupted by technology on a negative way is the railroads and obviously shipping. So, you know, looking at Union Pacific, you know, it's UNP.
UNP.
I mean, like I said, there's no way you're going to go from the port of Los Angeles to Chicago with goods with clicking. You know, it's got to be done physically. And these guys will enhance their business. But I mean, is this a situation where you've got a little bit of a bulletproof situation with the railroad?
I totally agree with this. Yes, absolutely. And I always said that, listen, everybody's, you know, is focused on Amazon, right? They're doing all their purchases online, but somebody has to deliver. So it's not only that railroads, but it's also transports, you know, like FedEx and UPS and all. So the whole system in general is going to go higher. And again, people got used to, you know, being to ordering online. And I think this is just going to boost, and it's just going to grow in 2021 even more, because we're going to be focusing more and more on online purchasing. We have no idea what's going to happen with the virus. Is there's going to be new variants? I was reading earlier that there are currently two variants, right? So there's a variant from the UK that popped up in the UK, and there's a variant in South Africa that is popping all over Europe right now. So it's probably just going to be a matter of time before it reaches the US, or maybe it reached US. I didn't really keep track of the virus anymore because I got tired of it, to be very honest. But again, you know, these are stocks, like you mentioned, Jim, these are going to be front and center, and these are going to be, these have to be in your portfolio, and you have to have a really well-balanced portfolio. So I agree, the tech stocks, they're great, but you have to diversify a little bit and, you know, kind of like think forward. And in fact, this has, you know, again, a really huge potential for higher. It just blasted higher last week. So it closed above this extension into the 127.2, and look at how much room it has to, it can go. So 240, that's huge, right? So these are all extensions, and they have also entered into this extension. If this week we're going to start typing anything over 221 and change, this is going to blast higher, and it's just going to continue. Probably in, I would say, 3 weeks, we can meet back here in 3 weeks. It could probably be into the 240, 3 to 4 weeks.
Now, there's been a good reversal in both UPS and FedEx today. Mm-hmm. So let's look at those, and there could be an opportunity there, because 157 is now 160, and the other one went down to 240 something.
Exactly.
So if it got above what level would we start thinking there's something happening here? You got to get above 168 there, Sink?
I think so. We have a massive support level here into the 150. What happened with UPS at this point, it got very extended from the 10 EMA and from the 20 SMA. So it just pretty much ranged. So from August, we had a little bit of pop higher. We came back in, we revisited, I would say, the approximate high area again, and then we came back in again. For me, this is going to be on hold. So I'm not going to engage right away. For me, it needs to hold the 154 and change. If it doesn't hold the 154, I think it can potentially run a little bit lower. And from this point, I could do do some extensions here. So you can see that this is a fib level as well. So it tr- try to find support into this FIB level. I think that if it's not going to hold this 155 level, it's going to go back down probably to the 141. And if it doesn't rotate, so I'm a true believer in price rotation. I never buy off support immediately, but I need to see the proof. Let's check out the weekly chart. So I'm sorry, the monthly charts. And the monthly chart already, you know, you can see the continuation lower from last, from the month of December. So I think we should wait. I mean, I would wait on this name. I wouldn't necessarily engage into a daily rotation right here. I mean, this would be, again, extremely, extremely aggressive, although it has the possibility for a short squeeze all the way into this 10 EMA. Mm-hmm. So that would be like a quick trade, probably, you know, by the end of the week, or maybe, you know, in a couple of days or so. So we could see it into the 162, but it really has a lot of resistance right here. So not only we have the 10 EMA, but we have the confluence from this prior pivot low and this prior pivot low right here. So I don't think it's ready yet. I like to look more into the weekly segment of things, and I would like to see the price kind of stabilize throughout this week and not do anything major, maybe tap on into this 155 again. And then if it does that, I would like to buy it next week over this week's high. And that would be a plan for the short squeeze. And in this case, this would be a target into the 164, 164.50 for me.
Is FedEx a similar story?
Oh, let's check it out.
It has a much lower PE ratio, so it must be lower valued.
Yeah. And we can see that it already broke support right here. This to me was a level of interest, because we had these prior highs right here, and I was really looking for any kind of technical rotation. I actually did not look, and I scanned through so many stocks, but this weekend I did run through FedEx. I didn't run scan into these stocks. They were not on my hot list, so I just and I did good, because basically what we're looking for is we want to see if the price proves itself to get above the prior weekly high, so we can engage higher and find more institutional buyers. But it didn't, so the momentum is still lower from this. Right. I would say odd doji, if you want to call it that way, topping tail candle, whatever it is. So it had the momentum for lower, and then continuation lower, and then continuation lower, and then continuation lower, and now we're just sitting here into the 242. Well, guess what? If we start breaking 242, we're gonna go back one more step into the 234, I think, because that is the prior pivot high right here, and that's the next support area. So unless it really strengthens, and this week, if it should start to trade over $260.50, I don't think it's gonna go higher. Not my favorite trade, because it's gonna be trading below the 20 SMA, and we also have this crossover here. I'm not really big into crossovers, so I really don't care about that. But I need to see like a clear kind of pattern here, and I need the price action to come in with vengeance. For the day trader or for the very aggressive swing trader, you could actually go off a 1 minute, a 1 hour chart. You could see there's a strong consolidation here, and there's a good possibility for a short squeeze. So you could have the 245 to 245.50, so about 50 cents right here, let's say, for a mini swing, a couple of day swing, and run it into the 248. And if the price proves itself to, you know, to start strengthening, remember the area that we were looking at is 260, you could take it in stages, and then you could roll it into the daily and see if you're getting that rotation. So you're starting off with let's say one lot, probably out of three or four. So you could go one lot over that 245 and start that way and have a defined stop. Because like I said, if it trades below that 242, I don't think it's going to be a pretty picture. So you don't want to add to a potential loss there if you want to add. But roll it in, and then from the daily, if it should trade today, let's say if it finds, you know, a lot of buyers, and if it trades over 247.50, then you can add another lot. And then the last, well, maybe not the last, but then the next one would be over 260. So you would roll into the trade based on the technical rotation, that is, you know, via charts. And also the 4 hour. 4 hour is pretty interesting here, because we had red, we had green, and then if we start trading over this 245, this is going to be key right here. And then we can see a little bit of a pop. It's not going to be anything significant, because the monthly chart is still into into a continuation lower. So I think it may want to pull back even more. The way I see it from the monthly chart, it can actually start pulling back to the 224-ish zone or 223. Mm-hmm. I'm not that excited about it.
With regards to the resource trade, a lot of people like the resource trade because of the dollar overall weakening, obviously having a pop here now, but the overall weakening. So let's look at a couple of resource things. Start out with Newmont Mining in NEM. Looks like there could be a turn here. Was lower today, back up. There you
go. NEM has started, and I think even gold, you know, can be on watch. But NEM, let's go back to the weekly. All right, so NEM last week had a really nice pop, and the one thing that I like about it is that it actually closed above this 20 SMA, which is borderline, but it's significant enough. And then we had the lower shelf of the prior low from the week that is creating support right now. And plus we have these candles right here for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks in which we were trading into the 6150. 6150 is support right now. So this is the area that, you know, is playing out. And this is good because we all have confluence from the 10 EMA. We also have these prior pivot highs that are creating support for current price action. So we may start seeing some positive rotations here. Even the daily chart is sustaining the move. So daily chart came in into this 200 SMA, popping a little bit higher. It would be interesting to see where we close today. And if tomorrow we're gonna trade above today's high, we could start engaging higher, 64, 65, 66, and back higher. What I do like about this and the clearer pattern is off of the monthly chart. So the monthly chart, I love dojis that are basing into the 10 EMA. We also have these two prior monthly lows right here. So it's, you know, kind of like nice chunky consolidation into the 59 area. And 59 area seems to be holding so far. Obviously, you got the fleecing to 56, but these are just the tails. So buyers are coming into that 59 area. What I do like is that in the first week of the month, we actually triggered above this doji, and I love dojis. I said it before, I just love these doji plays. This is bullish above. This is bullish above, and this is going to be your risk right here. If you want to give it a little bit of extra room, it would be 56, 65. I see it back into the 70s.
Yeah. There's two more aggressive ones. GDXJ, which is the junior miners on the silver. Is SILJ. So let's take a quick peek at GDXJ and SILJ to see if they're showing you anything.
XILJ?
Excuse me. SILJ is the silver.
Okay. I don't have the symbol on my platform, XILJ.
How about SIL?
Oh, silver, yeah. Silver, yeah. So silver, I'm still with a small portion in SLV, and I think that silver still has the potential for higher. The reality is that it just triggers. So this month we had a really nice rotation over the high from November and finally tapped into the $50. So I like it a lot. This is also a nice, very nice cone that is forming right here with support into a really amazing technical spot into the 38.80. And we also have the confluence of the Fib with the 10 exponential moving average and the shape of the candles, which to me is very important. What I do like about this is that the month of December had an inside month and it was a solid month for it. So now we just continued higher. We still have to keep the stop here. And silver, I know it's kind of like heavy, a little bit on the heavier side, it's a little bit more fleecy and flaky than any other, I would say, ETFs out there and metals, right? Silver is always more, has always been more flakier than gold and anything else. So you have to give it the stop over here, but it looks good. Right now it's trading still into the pattern. And I think that as long as it's not violating the 3870, still has the potential for higher. And in fact, I'm going to go ahead here and I'm going to show you another thing that I'm watching into this. So this is the new projection that I'm pretty much looking forward to for the next quarter into silver. So if it starts trading over $50, it can extend into this prior high of 53, and then we can have into the 56 and 61.
With regards to copper, we've been very, very much on the FCX trade.
Okay, FCX. Yeah. I was going to put
since it was $10. I mean, this thing's just been a cash machine all year long.
I know. Can you believe it, Jim? I didn't have a trade in it.
Oh, this was, well... You know, when, I figure anything under 10 that Carl Icahn owns, you know, you might want to take a look at it because, you know, it's not like they're going out of business. They have metal. You know what I mean?
Of course. Yeah. I just didn't find a proper entry because, and you can see right here, it was very hard to get in. Yeah. And once I missed this entry right here, to
me, that was a 12 and a half was like the definite green light. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. For me, this was the entry right here and I missed it and I didn't take it. I didn't even take the, copper futures. So to me, because I wasn't focused enough at this level, exactly. It just ran away and I had no entries. So, you know, instead of having a losing trade, I'd rather, you know, just skip it because you just miss your opportunity. You don't want to chase
9 million
it.
Stocks out there. You can't be on every one of them.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But FCX, and I remember you were talking about FCX. I believe it was like in May when we had a webinar and you were actually mentioning and you were talking about copper.
So, yeah, because China was going nuts with buying it. And then, like I say, obviously, you know, they're redoing the world. I mean, they're in Africa and they have that Silk Road or whatever they're talking about. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing but, demand out there for this stuff. And then, of course, the housing stocks are going up. They need copper in those houses.
Housing is very interesting. Yeah. I think housing is going to be very hot this year. There's a lot of demand for housing. And I'm here in South Florida, and I could tell you, like, the housing market is very, very hot. Everybody wants to own property right here. There are so many individuals relocating. I mean, if you go on the freeway, all you could see is New York license plates, New Jersey, Massachusetts. I mean, it's a massive, massive, massive move from north to here. And these are not snowbirds. These are individuals that are relocating. We have a lot of Californians that are relocating here and a lot of East Coasters that are relocating right here. So speaking about copper, I really wish that we could get like a pullback or something that is a little bit more significant. It has a huge target into the $40. It's just such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful move. And I mean, if any of you guys caught the move, I know Jim, you're in. It's just a fantastic ride. You just, you know, close your eyes and let it trade.
Yeah, I mean, you can't add up here because it's so extended. One last one on the, well, two more on the resource trade. Let's look at CVX. Oil has reversed itself today as well on some of these stocks. And of course, this thing pays over 5%. So not a bad thing to get 5% on your money while you watch a movie, right?
Oh, absolutely. I love CVX, and especially from the monthly perspective. I think once it starts trading above this 200 SMA, this is going to be a really hot trade and all of the energy stocks are popping. So I remember last week I had a trade in SLB, and here's the funny part. So I called the trade, I did the homework, you know, I sent the alert for my traders. But on Monday, when the market opened, I was so busy in day trades that I missed my entry in SLB. So so I'm really glad that my traders got it, but I'm not in. Anyway, that doesn't make me very happy.
No, but I think, like I say, if we're going to normalize, people are going to use it. And if we're going to normalize, jet fuel's going to come back and Saudi's cut. So, you know, I don't think it's a terrible thing. Maybe a diversified ETF like VDE might be a better way to go than just play pick a one. VDE, Victor, David, Edward.
VDE, okay.
Yeah, Victor, David, Edward.
Okay.
And that's...
That's
the one that I suggest people take a look at.
Yeah, same pattern, really good price point. So they're not very expensive. Energy stocks have been rocking and rolling lately. And there were some that, like RIG, for instance. Okay, so a RIG was, again, another one that... Look at this, $2.
Yeah, looks the same.
Yeah, they all have the same pattern. Look at these two candles right here. Okay, SLB. Yeah. So no matter what you look at, they have... Same pattern.
They look
pattern.
Like twins.
So it doesn't,
triplets.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, XOM, right? XOM, similar pattern right here. And they're exploding higher. It's really a great, great time.
What about USO? A lot of people always trade USO. Not me, but other people do.
I do trade USO.
Okay.
I trade years though, and I got it before the split, and I got it at, I think it was like $4 or something, and we're up now into it, so really nice breaking of the highs right here, and establishing new highs for the year. And I think it still has, you know, some juice in it, because once it tries to close above this 50 SMA, and it was not only about the 50 SMA, but it was these chunks of candles right here, because we did have a lot of pressure into the 32, and we're still going to get, you know, a lot of pressure, but I think it's probably going to go into the 50s. That would be my target, into this problem area from which we started to plummet. So $48 to $50 is my target for it. And when I called it last year, like I said, it was based on a weekly rotation, and it was, I think it was a little bit earlier than that. I think I took it on the daily. I have to check my account, but we took it, and then the reverse split came. So I don't know when the reverse split happened. I forget when it happened, but it's really, you know, and when we initiated the trade, we said that the trade is probably going to have a lifespan of about 2 years. So it's progressing nicely. And if it goes into the 50s this year, I'm going to be very happy. Very happy.
Let's close it out with Bitcoin, GBTC. It's something that I've been involved. Well, I first started getting involved with at $15. As you can see, that was a good entry point.
Yeah.
And but you can't, you know, like I say, similar to FCX, you know, you really, it's hard to buy the top of the Empire State Building hoping they're going to build another floor, you know.
Oh, absolutely, you're so right in this. Well, in GBTC, I started to draw attention, and I called this into our program as the wild card. So we did have a wild card. We initiated the trade into the $8, and then we had the pandemic, and we added here into the $10. So we averaged about $9 in it. It ran into the $48.65 last week, which was phenomenal. Obviously, we took some profit, so I don't have a lot of position still on. I'm really looking forward for a pullback, and then the pullback that... This is not extremely fantastic, but here are my thoughts on Bitcoin, on GBTC. If tomorrow we're going to start trading above this high, if we shouldn't be holding this high of 39.70 or whatever the high for today is, I'm going to look to add, but only if it trades over today's high. And yeah. I'm going to look for a gap fill first into the 44, mm-hmm. and then potentially higher than that. If it starts trading below today's low, 35.80 or so, then it can possibly run into the 31. And at which point I'm going to look for the same type of action for a candle to stabilize. And then we're going to be bullish above, not bearish below, but we're going to be bullish above. And if it should trade below that candle low, then we're going to be looking for $25. We'll see. We'll see how it trades. It's very interesting. I never expected that it would go the way it did. So we had targets into, to be frankly honest, we had targets into the $17 and $20. And then it just started to zip higher so much. And I said, you know what? We're just going to let it, you know, let it trade. And this was a pre-election trade. It was our wild card for 2020. So I'm really happy with the wild card that we picked. We're still in. And like I said, you know, the only opportunity that you would get here is to swing trade it. But for the investment purpose, it's going to be really hard to get it into these highs. So you need a significant pullback. And, you know, that can happen. So we're going to have to wait and see how it trades. But with Bitcoin, I would take it one day at a time here.
Yeah, the Bitcoin has two things that hit me right away. One is obviously, it has a finite supply, so that makes it very much more attractive than the gold and the fiat currency. So obviously, that's a good thing. The bad thing is I've heard that 95% of Bitcoin is controlled by 2% of the accounts, which means it's a very illiquid investment.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you're going to get moves. Obviously, everybody wants to get in an environment where no sellers are going, because 95% of it's controlled by 2%. It's going to jam up to 50. But if that 2% decides to dump, then you're going to have a different situation. And they did say that if we have a correction in the stock market, shaving 30 to 50% off Bitcoin is not out of the question. So if like in February, March, and April, you see a stock market that rolls over for whatever reason, then you could see Bitcoin being a very big bargain in the second quarter of the year, rather than chasing it in Q1 at the all-time highs here.
I agree 100%.
So let's talk about two things that are in the news. We had a crash in Indonesia, and of course it had to be a Boeing 737, right? So let's take a look at Boeing and see if there's anything there that you can take advantage of with the selling off for no reason or not a good reason.
Exactly. Very, very sad event. Indeed. I was looking at it. We didn't really pull back that much. And I think part of the reason was because we, the MAX was not involved, and the MAX was the one that, you know, was in the news for the last 2 years. It was grounded for 2 years. Obviously they're doing investigations to see what the causes of the crash were. But very interesting is that, you know, last week we were left with this doji. And again, doji guys, you know, I love dojis. And I think that if this week we're going to start trading above this high of 216.65 right here, we're going to start moving higher again. As long, and you can see here that we're still holding very, very well throughout the trading session. So this is not, so we gapped down, pre-market, but we quickly rotated and pushed the price a little bit higher. So we just need to push a little bit more here. So it's going to go like in small increments. But if we start trading above this high right here, we're going to start moving higher. I know there are a lot of traders that love to buy right into these moving averages right here, let's say into the 206s. But to me, it would be very interesting to see if from the daily structure, we close a little bit above this 20 SMA. And for me, an early entry would be over today's high. So I would need to see the close today. And then tomorrow we can, you know, start talking about a little bit of a push to the upside. But the reality is that crash or no crash, the reason why I think it's a little bit flakier here is because it had, it had a December where it pulled back hard. And then, you can see here that we rotated down. We are getting the hold into the 200. We have the even number, which we know it's psychological. And we also have the 10 exponential moving average. So this is going to be the decision point. If this month we're going to start punching below this 200, then I see that may be a danger for the long side in Boeing. But very unfortunate event. The stock, I don't think that's going to be, you know, a big difference for the stock. We're going to have to wait and see what the, I don't know if they found the black box or what the case was. You know, I know that the plane crashed like shortly after the takeoff, like 10 minutes or something. So I don't know what the crash cause was. So unless we know more information about the crash cause, I think that Boeing is going to be quite difficult to trade. And if it was a pilot error, I think that the stock is going
to
go up.
Yeah. And it looks like it's destined. It looks like it's destined to go to 275 to 325 over time.
I agree. I love it. Yeah. And I love your perspective.
Now the question is, you know, do you want to be a little safer and buy it at 225 on the way up, or do you want to start biting down here? You know, obviously, if at 225, it'll have a lot better momentum than it has today.
Of course.
Big question decades ago was who shot JR? Now the question is, what happened to Jack Ma? So where is Jack Ma is replacing who shot JR? So let's look at Baba and see what you think.
Oh my gosh, exactly. But I think we did have some news, and I'm totally like blacking out right now because I can't remember what the news was with Baba. Aren't they doing they want a partner to do like an electric vehicle with someone?
Yeah, I mean, these guys are so enormous. That's why they had to call him in the office and say, listen, you're getting a little enormous here with Alipay and Ant and everything else, and you're getting 45 million subscribers a week or something crazy. You know what I mean? And so I think they're just trying to get a better hold on where they're going and that it doesn't get out of control. And so I think after this kind of slow your horses down, once they're let back out of the barn, this horse is going to run again, and it's going to run big time.
Okay, Michael is posting in a room. Yes, they found the black box on the weekend. So, Michael, any any other details about the black box? That would be very interesting. Have they revealed anything that was on the black box? If you know any details, please share it with us and everybody in the room. But yeah, going back to BABA, look at the sideways consolidation right here. I mean, this stock is not going anywhere, but I'm going to share with you what I'm looking and loving so far. And I know it's still very early in the month. It's just the first, actually the second day of the, second week of the month. Okay, let me rephrase it.
I'm confused. Can you clear that up, please, a little bit? I'm a little confused. Was it the second day of the first week of the second month?
Oh, God. Sorry.
That's too much. I told you, only one espresso shot in your coffee, not two espresso shots.
I know. All right. So with BABA, I know it's still very early. By the way, guys, 251 trading days left in 2021. So anyway, so I see a huge potential here. So the more the stock will consolidate, because let's face it, it has been consolidating for about 3 weeks now. And the more it will consolidate, I think that this is going to be a mega opportunity. And especially if they're going to work on an electric vehicle with everything going towards green energy worldwide and everything, this is going to be a really hot stock to hold. I see this really running higher, and it could have a huge outcome. Oops, sorry. I wanted to put it back onto the weekly. It could have like a really huge outcome. It ran its course, by the way. It ran its course with projection and everything into the 320s, but we needed to calibrate right here. Any close that will be over 241, it's going to start taking off again. I like the stock long term. I don't think it's ready yet to initiate and to put, to push the buy button. Have this on your watch. You know, a year from now, you can be sitting on really good profits if we get a really nice entry off of that monthly chart. They're big, like just you said, Jim, and they're doing a lot of things. And I think that this stock has a really nice growth potential.
With regards to ESG investing, what I focus on is one called VFTAX. And it's got Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Alphabet, Facebook, Tesla, JP Morgan, Visa, Procter & Gamble, and United Healthcare. As of a couple of months ago, these were the larger, the top 10 in there. This is VF, Victor Frank, TAX.
Vanguard. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, got it.
And obviously, I'm looking at the top 10 stocks in it, these guys are all disruptors, a decent bank, and a Visa is a good payment processor, and United Healthcare is the Cadillac of the industry in that area. So, is this something that would have a lot more legs to go, do you think?
I think it does. So,
it's got tech in there, it's got healthcare, it's got financials, industrials, so it's diversified, and it's got consumer discretionary, which has obviously been a pretty good place to be.
Yeah, I think, it's heading higher, $39, and then it's going to run into the 50s. Usually stocks, and so what I have noticed lately, and this is something that, I've learned from the institutional side, that once the stock, is trading over 35 to 39, it's running into 50s. I mean, I don't know how they came up with that, but it...
I mean, just looking at the stocks I mentioned, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Alphabet, Facebook, Tesla, JP Morgan, Visa, United Healthcare. I mean, these are not... obviously, there's a lot more, but that gives you a flavor. They're not going after the chumps, there. They're going after the Cadillacs,
Exactly. $50 a bit longer term. This is where it's heading.
It's nice to get a taste of Amazon, and it's nice to get a taste of Amazon and not have to put up $3,500. You know what I mean?
Oh my goodness. Yes, absolutely. I don't trade Amazon for that reason. I don't do a lot of option trading, but I am not swing trading or investing $3,200 in Amazon. I'm mostly oriented into shorter term swings, or a little bit longer term swings, but not, investments, for 5 years or 10 years or whatever. So I like to keep, a tighter time frame.
Right. What we did here today is I was able to you know, shall we say, blitzkrieg you with a bunch of stocks. And people who sign up for your situation can also ask about different stocks as well, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
So I mean, like, this is your analysis is very helpful. And for people who have other stocks out there but want to talk to somebody who could technically quantify what's going on, you know, there'd be a lot of value that you would add to that relationship, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So the reality is that, you know, you have to have a way of communicating with everyone. And if you, you know, 4 eyes are better than 2, 10 eyes are better than 2, obviously. And it's always great to have somebody's take on, you know, a trade that you're in, because sometimes when you're in, you kind of, you know, have passion for that trade and you don't, you know, you're trying to save the trade per se. But if you bring a trade to me and let's say I see it as a, you know what, just cut it, you know, maybe you would have, it would be an easier decision for you to cut that trade, get out of the trade and focus more on finding another trade that, you know, fits your criteria and has a better potential for a run higher. So absolutely. So we call trades all the time and, you know, our traders, you know, decide to, you know, pick their own trades as well. And we're very happy to help them.
Right. Yeah. Because I mean, again, this is very helpful to get the technical picture on anything that you own. And also you have ideas, obviously, that you generate constantly. We have a few minutes here. Are there any ones that are on your radar we didn't cover? And maybe we can cover them quick before we close out.
Well, there are some trades that are on our radar. I'm going to go through some of them really, really quickly. Okay. It's PETS, and this is PetMed. And I think that we can have a good possibility here once we see it over 34.50. These trades have not triggered, so these are on our radar. These were calls. And if we start trading above 50 area, there is a lot of room for higher into the $40. Also, Airbnb, ABNB, is the ticker symbol. And also there's, let's take it to the daily right here. So daily is very interesting. Actually, we would like to see it over these highs into the 155s. And in fact, we are focusing more, like I said, from the weekly perspective. Sorry about that. So the weekly perspective here would be to trade over this high. So if it trades over this high, it's really going to start to engage higher. As long as it's trading between high and low, it's not really going to do anything. So we have to be, you know, patient.
But I tell you, let me just add something that you're making a very good point, because somebody else was saying Airbnb has more hotel or space than Marriott mm-hmm. and Hilton and mm-hmm. everybody else combined. So when people do go back out and travel, Airbnb is going to be a one-stop shop to get an awful lot of available space for people. And that's why they're going to disrupt the hotel industry.
Exactly, because people would rather stay instead of being cooped up in a little room. They would like to have a living room and two bathrooms and a swimming pool. Yeah, so I totally agree. This is a great watch, and as soon as we're gonna put the virus behind us and the travel is gonna be full throttle on, this is going to be a really good option. And also one of the other picks is CVS. Now CVS is going to be, you can see I have an alert here because it has not triggered yet. So I would love to see this over $76.50. It just tapped into that area briefly into actually the 44. So it didn't really trigger. So what I do love about this stock is that, hold on. Let me see if I have the, okay, time frame, weekly, here it is, the yearly. Okay, I'm going to go really far out. Let me put a little bit more time. Oh, okay. 3 years. Let's go max available. Okay. Jim, what do you think about this beautiful setup right here? Isn't it gorgeous? Yeah.
It's in the right industry.
I know. Exactly. Yes. So it's a really nice, and this is going to be more of a long-term trade. So, the time frame of the trade is probably going to be 2+ years, 2 to 4 years. Look at the nice trigger here, over $77. Has mm-hmm. the possibility to grow back up into the $100 and even challenge mm-hmm. this prior high. So very, very nice technical, beautiful. This is an yearly chart, also a quarterly chart. Let's see where I have it right here. Quarterly chart is also very strong. This is a nice formation here with a nice pivot forming into the 50s. And if we start punching above this resistance line, this is going to this is going to go full throttle. This is actually my best pick long term for the week.
You know, Bill Miller loves Teva, T-E-V-A, and I took a bite at it with some June of next year $8 calls for $2, and so they're in the money by 3.5 now. And what are you thinking here? Could this thing be a, because he really believes in this thing, and this is obviously in the drug thing too, you know.
Well, I really think I really wish that you were abroad. We would have had this show before the market opened. $11.10 is the trigger for it on the quarterly basis. So this is a quarterly rotation. This is very, very strong with the first pit stop and the $12.80. I think this is a good good buy right here, even right here, $11.36. And again, keep in mind, you know, these are longer term, so this is not necessarily going to be short term. Short term, it looks kind of like choppy, but it has a quite nice, I would call this a choppy rounded bottom, but it's, you know, double bottom right here. We have the one low, second low, and then we have a triple bottom right here. We had a revisit, but still this is a higher low. So we're making higher and higher, higher lows. And if we start trading over 1150, this is going to be the new higher low. It does have a lot of resistance above, but I like it. And it's like I said, I like it for longer term, especially, you know, if we're going into the quarterly and the yearly. Quarterly and yearly look very, very good.
All right. We're at the top. Like I say, that sector of healthcare and biotech and drugs and all that stuff, that seems to be, you know, the aging of the population is not going away. So we've got a lot of stuff going on. And this guy's coming in with definitely a mandate, because we've done absolutely zero. All we've done is throw mud at Obamacare. You don't have to be a genius to throw mud. So bottom line is, hopefully they'll get guys in there who not only throw mud, but also correct the situation and get us better healthcare and more expansive healthcare. And if you have more expansive healthcare, CVS and Teva should benefit from more people needing the stuff, right?
I agree. And Jim, what a better opportunity to get into some of these stocks, because right now we have the JP Morgan healthcare conference that is going on. Today's the first day. Yeah. And I think, you know, Jim Cramer is doing a really good job. You know, I know in the previous years, you know, I've been watching this for so many years now. But I think when he has his segment in, you know, at night, he does a really good job of pointing out what's in play. He has a lot of CEOs that he invites on his show and talk about, you know, FDA approvals and all that stuff. So this is a very interesting time right now, beginning of the year. This can be the launch pad for some healthcare stocks.
Sure. Okay. We need to get a hold of you. So how are people going to get a hold of you? And do you have any special offers you want to give out right now?
Well, if you guys want to get a hold of me, you can reach me at tradeoutloud.com. We offer education. We have a trading room for day trading futures. And we do have the stock swing trader, which is geared towards swing trading and also active investing. We don't have any special offers right. Well, actually, we do have a special offer for the course. We're offering the day trading course, and we're throwing in a huge bonus. We have instead of 1 month with one month that is included with the program, access to the trading room, we have 3 months free into the trading room. So the special offer for the month of January for us.
Okay, that sounds great. All right, David, I'm going to turn it back over to you for Option Professor. If you'd like to get the free weekly update where we update all the markets and also give you some ideas on what we're focused on, you just go to optionprofessor.com, put in your email address, and then every Friday or every Saturday, you'll get something in your email box that'll update you on our opinions and our observations on stocks, bonds, gold, crude oil, and everything else. So, David, back to you. And thank you, Anka, for being here. And very nice conversation. I hope everybody learned something today.
Thank you so much, Jim. And thank you, David.
All right. Thanks. Great discussion today. So just a quick reminder for everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast directory or app. And you can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to any of the past shows or reports there. And be sure to join us tomorrow. Anka and the Option Professor will be back for Analyze Your Trade at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. You can access that from timingresearch.com/live. And just want to thank my guests again for today, Anka Metcalf of tradeoutloud.com and the Option Professor of optionprofessor.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much, David. Have a great week, everyone. Bye.
Thanks, Anka.